All right, turn to 1 Samuel 17. David, read 1 Samuel 17, 17 through 20. Casey, Proverbs 15, 5. Antonio, Psalm 25, 9. Colby, read Proverbs 16, 18. Reading about a man, he said he was teaching a model building class for kids age 9 through 13. And he said very commonly they would suddenly complain, get mad, and they would say, "I'm missing parts. This isn't coming together." And then he'd ask them, "Did you follow the directions?" He had given them clear step-by-step directions, and they'd say, "No, I skipped that part." They would say, "My models are messed up and it's defective," and then he'd have to point out to them, "That's because you skipped steps 1 through 3. And then when they would follow the directions, he would say to them, "Amazing how it worked out. And the model looked great." In this story that we're going to read, this is one of the most famous passages in the Bible. It's of David defeating Goliath, but I want you to notice how destiny begins here. It begins with David receiving direction from his father. So let's read 1 Samuel 17, 17 through 20.
Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephod, a stride ring, and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. Carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of the 1,000. See how your brothers fare. Bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things that went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouted from the battle.
Okay, let's look at the importance of direction. This text shows us one of the starting points of destiny is simply receiving direction and instruction. So in this passage, the story begins with David taking direction from his father. And we read there 17 and 18. Jesse said to his son David, "Take the half bushel of cooked grain, 10 loaves, take bread, cheese, take it to the commander and your brothers. See how your brothers are. Bring back proof to show me they're all right." So this is very simple. Is dad says, "Maybe your brothers and those are hungry, and I also want to know what's going on." And so he tells David and gives him some direction or gives him instruction, because that is actually where discipleship is forged. A disciple by definition is a learner or a student. So this is an assumption, is that a disciple is one who doesn't know everything. So therefore, they take direction, they take instruction. And direction is given by people with greater experience, greater wisdom, greater depth of relationship with God. Yeah, that's kind of common sense, isn't it? Is if you want to know something, you don't want to ask for help from somebody who knows nothing about it, has never experienced it. And so this is discipleship. You are a learner, and part of your entire approach should be taking direction. So taking direction or instruction is crucial. The reason why is often the one who is giving direction or giving instruction can see things that you don't see. This is true in life. Any of you that are parents, you try to talk to your children about, whether it's smart to play in the road. You know, a child is like, there's a wide open space. What an awesome place to play. But parents can see things that children cannot. So when we receive direction, you learn what is important that might not seem important at the time. So in this is actually a very important lesson, is David is learning to meet other people's needs. That's what his father is saying here. "Listen, I know you want to do whatever you're doing, I want you to go feed them. There are other people that are hungry. You meet their needs. And he says, I'm concerned. I want to know what's going on. David is learning to think about other people. So he learns these lessons he only gains these because someone gave him direction. This is not David's idea. He's not out in the middle of the wilderness going, I wonder if my brothers are hungry. I wonder if dad is worried. No. Someone else was instructing him here. So sometimes in direction, the full ramifications are not either explained or understood by the disciple. Think about Jesus. Let down your nets for a catch. And they're like, we fished all night. Why? Cast your nets on the other side. Why? Because Jesus knows more than you do. That's the point, to help you, but you have to be willing to receive direction. So direction is always about the future. When you receive instruction or direction today, it might be because there's a problem to be fixed. It might be because there's a need that needs to be met. But in fact, the issue is the future. That is the important thing about direction, because today it's about cheese in this story. Cheese and bread, but someday it's going to be about people. It's not going to be just about feeding. Someday David was going to be leading. It was going to be literally people's lives. There would come a time at the threshing floor of Ornan as God says, I'm going to let you choose. But his choice is literally going to determine whether or how many people are going to live or die. So that's why you have to learn to receive direction. Someday it'll be about your destiny, your entire future. It'll be about other people's destiny. And a story that I like about receiving direction, man tells about when he was in the Navy, they drilled into them, if we give an order, instantly you obey. He said he was on a ship, and they had a metal cable in between two ships, and he said the metal cable snapped, and one of the officers yelled, down, and instantly, because of their training, they all instantly hit the deck. And he said that broken cable, as it whipped across, it had a hawser, which a huge chunk of metal. I think he said it weighed like 20 pounds. Whipped across. He said, if we had not instantly obeyed, he said, it would have killed us. Okay, that is important. In direction, small things, as you learn to receive direct, it may be small today, but it's actually not about today. You are being trained for the future. Let's talk secondly about the test of direction. So, David is summoned by his father. I want you to travel, take some bread, take some cheese, and deliver messages. So think about why those requests may have been difficult for David. And I think the reason why that would have made it harder is God had already revealed his plan for David's life. David had been anointed king. God had already told him, someday you are going to be in charge. You are going to rule the entire nation, including your brothers, including your dad. So, human nature resists instruction when we think that we're bigger than it. So you imagine this would be normal if David would have said, why should I deliver cheese and play errand boy? I'm going to be the king. Kings don't do cheese delivery, right? That would have been very normal for him to think like that. This is what happens as disciples when they, especially if they have received a clear call from God, or they've got a word or a prophecy from someone about their future destiny. Sometimes the ugly side of knowing that you have a destiny is sometimes the disciples are like, why should I stack chairs, load vans, help out Listen, man, I got a destiny. So therefore, taking direction sometimes becomes harder for guys. So direction then is not simply about meeting a need. Taking direction and instruction becomes a test of our hearts. So it's a test of pride, isn't it? This simple question, can you be told what to do? Can you receive direction? Proverbs 15:5.
A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent.
Okay, a fool despises, looks down on, cannot receive instruction. One who receives correction or instruction or direction is prudent or wise. I preached last week about Peter and Peter rebuking Jesus. So this is flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven is like, yeah, and I'm going to die. No. I have a debt. Did you not just say that flesh and blood reveal? So that's human nature. Is God shows us something good, pride means we don't want to receive direction. So, in order to help us, God has designed direction to come through a man. That is what discipleship is. You learn. How do you learn? Not simply by fasting in the wilderness. You learn through a man of God. And so, therefore, is discipleship involves frequent tests of our pride or of our teachability. Sometimes, it's not wrong to ask for clarification. Understanding why something needs to be done, that sometimes is valid. Eleazar was given direction by Abraham. Go and find a wife and don't take one of the land. Very narrow parameters. And so he asks for clarification. Okay, let me get this straight. What happens if I find the girl and she doesn't want to move to another country, leave her family, and probably never see him again? And that's valid. So Abraham gave direction and further clarified. So that's fine. There's nothing wrong with asking questions if you don't understand. But on the other hand, sometimes there is no time. Sometimes there's direction. There's no time. The reason why I want you to do this, because it may be, and that, and all, okay, I see the big picture. Sometimes not. I want this done. So therefore, it is a test. And in fact, sometimes I'm a firm believer. I like explaining. I think that's helpful. But sometimes I deliberately don't explain. Because part of my job is to help test the hearts of disciples. I give an instruction without full explanation because I do need to know whether a man can receive direction. Okay, final thought, destiny and direction. So, as I said, the whole passage of David and Goliath, that's like a worldwide story. People, even non-Christians, know the story of David and Goliath. This is what brings him into his destiny. He is he's put on the map, as it were, and his life changes from the killing of the giant. But the story begins. He would have never faced the giant if he had not received direction. If he would have told his dad, you know what, I don't do cheese. That's not in my contract. Okay? Errand boy, listen, you can get one of my sisters to play errand boy. I don't do errands. He could have done that. Then he would never have entered into his destiny. Psalm 25, verse 9.
The meek will he guide in justice, and the meek will he teach his way.
Okay, he guides, another translation says, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. So that's very interesting. Humility. Humility is not publicly announcing, I'm a worm, I'm no good, I don't know why they picked me. That's not humility. Part of humility is very practical. Can you receive direction? That's it. And God says there is something profound, is God guides the humble. People who receive direction wind up in crucial situations that bring them into the will of God. I can tell you this is true in my own life. David, father tells him to play errand boy and deliver cheese. But really what God wanted was for him to see Goliath defy God's people and be stirred enough to fight him. And that would launch him into his destiny. God used direction to bring him into crucial situations. There was a, I think of situation in my life, and part of how I wound up in South Africa was exactly like this. There was something going on I did not understand. Pastor Mitchell gave direction. It messed with my head, but I said, okay, so I'm going to go along with what you said. And out of that, it's too long of a story to tell, but that is how I actually wound up in South Africa. One of the marking moments of my life was because I received direction at a time that I didn't understand. And later on, it was found to be that that was great wisdom. So, on the other hand, those who can't receive direction, they wind up putting their destiny on hold. If you can't learn to receive direction, I guarantee the will of God is not buffet. It's not Golden Corral. It's not no thanks on the Brussels sprouts. You can't say, I don't do the receiving direction thing. Can we move on to prophecy? Absolutely not. God will again and again, look, you need to learn this. You're going to have to learn to take direction. We can't move on. You're not going anywhere until you learn that lesson. And I see this through the years and many years of pastoring. I see men who have talent, they have potential, but their pride means they cannot receive direction. So therefore, they're held back. Other guys pass them up, move on into the will of God. If God gave the unteachable man wonderful destiny, it would result in their destruction. Proverbs 16:18.
Pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall.
Okay, that's it. You gotta mark this somewhere in your heart. Pride goes, that's a question. I have people that are they're resisting. I'm trying to help them, and I ask this simple question. Pride goes before what? Not success, not destiny, destruction. You got to learn that. And so the problem is pride will destroy others. That's the trait. You want to destroy yourself, that's fine, but it's not just you. Pride destroys others. David is a lesson later on. I want to number the people. His own man is saying, this is a bad idea. You shouldn't. No, I want to do it. I'm in charge here. Made him, and thousands of people, 70,000 men die. People died because he wouldn't receive direction. And of course, destroy yourself. People who don't receive direction ultimately destroy yourself. So the question as we close is this: can you receive direction? This works out in a lot of areas of life. Some of you resist your boss at every turn. In your mind, he's a sinner. He's not right. He's got some flaws. He's got some problems. But that's actually God helping you. Learning to take direction on the job, in ministry. Some of you are in ministry, and whoever's in charge of your ministry, you give them hell because you got a better idea all the time. You're going to struggle. Pastors, whatever. Can you receive direction? Because that determines destiny. Okay, let's take some questions on that thought. Receiving direction. Probably no one here needs this lesson. This is a... keep the paper, you give it to somebody when you know that they need it. Any questions? Thinking. Either you need more caffeine or it doesn't apply to you. Thank you.
Would this kind of go hand in hand with asking for directions too? Because I know for me, like asking for directions would also be very humbling sometimes.
Sure.
Where like being afraid to ask for directions. So would that kind of be along the same lines? Or?
Yeah. Because it's all rooted in pride, right? Asking for directions is, yes, as you say, that's admitting you don't know. So, unfortunately, is it with men, they think somehow one is asking for direction lowers their worth, right? Every man, we don't need maps. We don't even know stinking maps. So we think that lowers our worth. But secondly, in a discipleship setting, is the mistake is that men think that asking for direction, clarification, help, understanding will somehow mean a man of God will view them like you can't possibly have a destiny because there are things you don't know. When it's actually the opposite. Men who never ask for help or direction, I'm suspicious of, because no one's that smart, right? So that means they have it's all rooted in pride, whether you can receive direction or whether you are willing to ask for direction or help. It's the same root as pride, right? Humility is honest estimation. So I don't know everything, therefore I can be told what to do. I don't know everything, therefore I will ask for help. Instruction, clarity, whatever it might be, yeah. That's practical humility. Casey?
Protect yourself from pride.
Pride runs in cycles. I don't know of anybody who is humble for any length of time. It's human nature. We're like Peter, aren't we? The moment one good thing happens, it's like, yeah, I got it going on. So, but fortunately, it's a cycle God arranges. Because he cares for us, he arranges situations to, you know, pop the balloon of our pride frequently. So for most, you know, for, well, all, actually not most, all, I could say 100% of people, generally it's a cycle. I'm filled with pride. I either fail, say something stupid, have to receive correction, have to face that I don't know. So therefore, as I'm, I'm not all that. Then I succeed. Yeah. And so God, you know, God's got a lot of pins to poke pride. So, because he cares for us. And that's evidence of his love.
So it's inevitable.
Yeah, it is inevitable, sure. So as far as avoiding it, as I say, humility is honest estimation. And so when we're dishonest, as Corinthians says, what do you have that you weren't given? So when we start thinking somehow, you know, there are things that we are given. You know, the old saying is he was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. Right? There are things that we're given. It just is, God has let it fall in our lap, and then we take credit for it, which is foolishness. No, you have to honestly assess God. So part of that is gratitude. When you're grateful, you are rehearsing, how did I get this? It's a miracle. God, you put up with me, you salvaged me, right? That's in gratitude, you rehearse. So that is protective against pride in some ways. But there's nobody that is going to be so grateful, so humble, honestly estimating that they're not going to be filled with pride at times. So in that, if you're grateful, if you honestly assess yourself and face the truth, that will help. And then there are adjustments, there are ego adjustments. That's God. Good.
So I was thinking, because David, you said he knew he was going to be a king, but he obviously listened to his dad and went and delivered stuff to his brothers. But I was thinking when he did that, he didn't have to challenge Goliath. He could have just did what his father asked. So when you're receiving direction, do you also look for your destiny farther?
Yeah, yeah. It's initiative. I have a little speech with every concert director. And my little speech, part of it is, baby steps is, do what I say. Follow instructions, period. For all the reasons I just said here, because it's bigger. But that's just baby steps. If the only thing you do is do what you're told, then you're not making progress. The second part, what David then showed, is what we call initiative. This is on his own. So you don't abandon what your job. I don't have time to do what you told me to do because I'm following the will of God. But you look for ways. So that's what I tell concentrators. Follow instructions and then look for ways to be a blessing. Right? That was when I came on staff. I came to serve my dad, actually to serve my parents, help my mom and all the things she had to do in the church. As I'm going to serve. So they gave me there was a certain list of things that were expected, but then how can I bless? How can I help? I'm looking for ways to be a blessing. That's initiative. They go hand in hand. Both are charis. Not either or. It's not, I have initiative, I don't follow directions. It's not I follow directions, I have no initiative. You got to have both. They both work hand in hand. Good. David?
So David, before he went to fight Goliath, before his dad sent him, I know that he already received that prophecy from Samuel, he came, but how did he prepare himself so that he would be ready to make the right decisions when that opportunity came?
Well, yeah, all kinds of things. So taking care of sheep is service. It's humility, right? Being willing to do a lowly task. That was not. You're not the star of the family if you're taking care of sheep. There's a reason why he was doing it. Seeking God. He built his relationship with God on his own. That's important. Fighting battles. I fought the lion, the bear. All those kinds of things. Everything. That's the beauty of discipleship. Seminary is go to school, study, pass these tests, and you qualify. Discipleship, everything is a test. How you treat your wife, how you work on the job, what do you do with money, whether you pray, whether you're faithful. It's all a test. You're growing by every decision that you make. And so I look back on being in a band. I use lessons to this day that I learned from playing in a band. I'm pastoring. I've been pastoring now for, jeepers, in 2021. How long will it be? A long time. 35 years. And so 35 years later, I'm still using lessons I learned while playing in a band. I still use lessons that I learned working a job. All right? So everything is a discipleship test. If you look at it, the danger is guys who are there just biding time, not taking care of business, seeking God, treating people right, working on their marriage, because I got a destiny someday. And that's a terrible mistake. Good. It's all good. Good. Good questions, guys. All right.